This is a message by Pastor Mark Fox of Antioch Community Church in Elon, North Carolina. For other sermons from Antioch, you can visit the church website at antiochchurchnc.org. Now, let's turn our hearts to the Word of God.
So we're going to be reading Luke chapter 2, verses 25 through 35. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory to your people Israel." And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed him and said to Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed."
Well, good morning. For a minute there, I thought we weren't going to be able to see the one surviving photo that we have of Simeon holding the Christ child. It was found in the Dead Sea with the Dead Sea Scrolls. Technology was a lot more advanced than we thought back in those days. You know, during this week, As you know, we had a funeral this week, but my thoughts went back to a memorial service that I had the privilege of sharing 20 years ago for my Uncle Wingate, my great Uncle Wingate. He was my mom's uncle, and he was my mom's brother. And in the house at 4524 Myrtle Avenue, in that house was great grandma Jessie Hooser, and then there was my grandparents, and then there was my Uncle Wingate, and then the kids that they had. So it was a busy house. By the time 20 years ago came along, Wingate was the only one in the house. Everybody else had moved out or gone to be with the Lord. He was 80 years old when he died. He'd been in the nursing home for the last 3 years of his life. He'd never married. My Uncle Wingate served in the Air Force. He was in England as an airplane mechanic during World War II. From 42 to 45. And all he cared about doing once he got out of the Air Force was fishing and hunting. So in order to supply that habit of fishing and hunting, he painted houses. Wasn't interested in women, marriage, none of that. And so by the time that he was in this nursing home, the last 3 years of his life, he was frail. He was not the great outdoorsman that I remember, who taught me, the first one who taught me how to hold and to shoot a rifle. I remember him saying, "Mark, you always treat a gun like it's loaded. You always remember, treat a gun like it's loaded." Then he picked up the gun and started loading it. And I said, "Why are you loading it?" Anyway, that's who I was. So we're in the nursing home, and the first time I went there with my children, I remember we said, "Uncle Wingate, we want to pray for you. What would you like for us to pray for you about?" He said, "Pray that I'll get out of this place. I want to go home." And, of course, home at that point he was talking about was Myrtle Avenue in Winston-Salem. But it wasn't long before his request changed to, "No, I don't want to go there. I want to go home." And so he finally got his wish. And I imagine once he gets his new body, he'll be wearing his hip waders and he'll be fishing in the streams that make glad the city of God. But, friends, my Uncle Wingate did not just waste away in that nursing home. No, quite the opposite. I remember we had the service in the nursing home, in the chapel there, and I remember there were 15 to 20 people who stood up when I said, "Hey, does anybody have a memory or something you want to share about Wingate?" 15 to 20 stood to testify about the impact that Uncle Wingate's life had had on their life. Many of those shared stories of how he ministered to them in the nursing home, talking about his faith or encouraging them with a smile. But one of the ladies who worked in the home, my Uncle Wingate had nicknamed Chainsaw. one of his nephews, my uncle Sonny, said, "Why do you call her Chainsaw?" He said, "Well, you remember, you know how it's like in the woods in the early morning, and you're sitting there on a log, and it's peaceful and it's quiet, and then suddenly your peace is disturbed by the jangling, nerve jangling sound of a chainsaw. That's what it's like when she comes into my room every morning." She was there. She laughed when that story was told at the memorial service. But as I thought about Wingate, as I read the Luke's Gospel about an old man named Simeon, at least we think he was an old man, who did not waste away his days, last days on earth. Instead, like my Uncle Wingate, he was waiting. He was waiting for something very important. Let's look at what Simeon was doing and why he was doing it and how God was glorified in it. So first of all, just imagine the slide. What was Simeon doing? Well, it says that this man was righteous and devout. He was waiting. Simeon was not wasting. It's important, saints. He was not wasting. He was waiting. And some people say, well, whenever I'm waiting, that is wasting. I'm wasting time if I'm waiting, right? I'm not a waiter. I want to do something, right? Don't just stand there, do something. Do something, even if it's wrong. You know, if you're waiting on me, you're backing up. You've heard all those sayings, right? And we've used all those sayings. But sometimes the thing that we really need to be doing most of all is waiting. And that's what my Uncle Wingate was doing. He was waiting for the Lord to come and take him. And Simeon was waiting for the Lord to come and be revealed that day. You know, we don't like to wait, do we? We don't like to wait for Christmas. How many days till Christmas, kiddos? All right, so math is not our strong suit here at Antioch, but that's okay. Christmas, 20, I think it's 20 days, isn't it? Is it 20 days? Okay. We don't like to wait for Christmas. We don't like to wait for a husband or a wife. Young people, we want it right now, right? We don't like to wait on the Lord to reveal His will when it comes to a job or a college or a career or a house or whatever. But sometimes the worst thing we can do is to not wait. If Simeon had been doing anything but waiting, it would have been a sin for him and it would have been a waste. Wouldn't it? I mean, Simeon could have gotten frustrated and said, "He's not coming. I'm just going to go and fish. I'm just going to go and, you know, play games. I'm just going to go hide out in my townhouse here in Jerusalem and not go anywhere else again." Or Simeon, even worse, Simeon could have just decided for himself which one of the babies that was born in Jerusalem was the Christ child and just walked up and, you know, and prophesied over that baby. Just imagine the confusion that would have caused. And of course, the disobedience that Simeon would have been walking in. Now, that would have been a waste. So Simeon was committed to waiting on the Lord as an old man to accomplish what God had created him to accomplish. You know, history records that many people made some of their greatest contributions to society after the age of 60. I like this because I'm over 60, right? So here's one. J.R.R. Tolkien was 62 when he first published the first volume of Lord of the Rings. There's still hope for that great novel for some of us, right? Noah Webster completed a little volume we call the American Dictionary at the age of 66. At 69, Hudson Taylor was still vigorously working the mission fields in Indochina, going into new territories. Galileo made his greatest discovery at 73. Grandma Moses started painting at 76. Why did she start painting? Because her fingers were too crippled to do what she really loved, which was embroidery. For 25 years, Grandma Moses created 1,000 paintings, and she died at 101. Caleb was 85 when he said, "I'll take that mountain," and he took the stronghold of the giants. You see, God never intends for any of us to retire from spiritual activity. You might retire from a job, but we never retire from spiritual activity and doing what God has given us to do. The Bible says we can still bring forth fruit in old age. Amen. You know, I thought about my mom. She was 70 years old when my dad died. And honestly, folks, the last 15 years of her life, almost 16 years of her life, her ministry multiplied. It did not diminish. She did more to serve the Lord in those 15 years than she did in the previous 70, at least in my calculation. God knows perfectly. But it was amazing what she got involved in. Her ministry to the church, to her family, to her friends. As I said at the funeral, my mom taught me how to live until you die. And then she taught me how to die well. The great evangelist George Whitefield was relating difficulties of gospel ministry to some friends. I can relate to this. He said that he was weary of the burdens and was glad that his work would soon be over, and he would depart this earthly scene and be with Christ. The others admitted having similar feelings, all except one, a Mr. Tennant. Noting this, Whitefield tapped Mr. Tennant on the knee and he said, "Well, Brother Tennant, you're the oldest among us. What do you think of these things, of wanting it to be over so you can be home with Jesus?" The old man answered bluntly that he had no wish about death. He said, "I have nothing to do with death. My business is to live as long as I can, as well as I can, and serve my Savior as faithfully as I can until He thinks it's time to call me home." And George Whitefield, it's reported, accepted that as a word of rebuke from the Lord to carry on his ministry calmly and patiently. Vance Havner says, "Simply wait on Him. So doing, we shall be directed, supplied, protected, corrected, and rewarded." And Eugene Peterson wrote, "Waiting in prayer is a disciplined refusal to act before God acts." So what are you waiting on right now? Well, maybe you need to keep waiting, right? And keep praying and seeking the Lord. Don't run ahead of Him and don't stop the waiting to go do whatever you think you should be doing. Wait. Why was Simeon waiting? Well, because he wanted to see something the Lord had promised. Verse 26, it had been revealed to him. Look at that verse. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. In other words, he had been promised by the Spirit, "You will not die until you've seen the Messiah." Until you've seen the one who's been prophesied for 700 years and really since the Garden of Eden, the one who will crush the serpent's head is coming. And I thought about, you know, this was 33 years before Pentecost. Holy Spirit had not come yet as He would 33 years later in such a way that we know now He enters the hearts and the souls of every believer and dwells with them. So Simeon heard from the Holy Spirit, "Hey, you're going to see the Messiah." Maybe he shared that with some people and got, as you would expect, some scoffs and maybe some rebukes. Who do you think you are, thinking you're hearing something from the Holy Spirit, right? But he believed that word and he did not turn away from it. And in fact, he was not going to have peace. The theme today was peace. He would not have peace until he had seen what God had called him to see. And we can't have peace until we have completed what God has put us on the earth to do. And if you're anxious or you're unsettled about the rest of your life, maybe it's time for us to just go back to the Lord and say, "Lord, what am I to be doing now? I don't have peace. Help me to be at that place where I'm content doing what You've called me to do." Right? Simeon was not going to just walk away from God's calling. He and Anna both had inconsolable secrets that had been given to them from the Lord. Anna the prophetess, we didn't look at her, but she was there on the scene as well. An incredible story, these two elderly people who loved God. You might say, "Well, God gave Simeon a word. I wish He would give me a word. I wish I had some kind of word or some kind of promise." Really? Is that what anybody's thinking? Because guess what? You do. You have so many promises. You have so many words from the Lord that have been written. All of us. And I know you know that. Search the Scriptures and continue to seek the Lord to do what He's put you on the earth to do. Right? The Word is filled with promises for God's people. People read them and believe them. It was the promise that heaven waits for those who die in Christ that gave my mom courage and even joy. She looked forward to that time when she would be with Jesus. She knew that what Paul said was true. To live is Christ, and what? To die is gain. To live. Paul said, I'm going to stay here because I'm living for Christ, and yet I know that to die is going to be better. But right now, I need it here. And that should be all of our attitude, our posture. Lord, I'm needed here. My work here is not done. That's what I told Mom 15 years ago when she was so depressed. She did not want to die she won't want to live that first year after Dad died. I said, "Mom, you're not done yet. God's got a ministry for you that you can't even begin to imagine. So don't quit. Don't stop to live as Christ. Live for Him. And she did. She believed what Jesus said to Mary and Martha when they were at grief and inconsolable grief about their brother. And why weren't you here? If you'd been here, our brother would not have died. And Jesus said to them both, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. He said, well, how can that be? I mean, we're all going to die, aren't we? And Jesus just said that. If you die, you'll live again. Then he said, whoever believes in me will never die, because we don't. We simply close our eyes in this world and open them up in the next. We just simply pass through the veil. And we're with Jesus. In that instant, when mom passed, she was in the presence of the Lord. Paul said, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So the birth of this one who brought us salvation had just happened, and Simeon was waiting to see the fulfillment of God's promise. You know, there were thousands of people living in Jerusalem. It was a busy place. But Scripture records that there were only two that day in Jerusalem who saw and recognized the most important event the world had ever seen. The advent, the coming of the Christ, the King, the Messiah, the one who would take our place on the cross. So what did Simeon see? He saw Jesus, and he proclaimed, for my eyes have seen your salvation. That's my emphasis. The only salvation is God's salvation, right? All others are cheap imitations, empty promises that leave us still in our sin. But Simeon understands who he's holding, and he breaks forth into praise as he sees what Isaiah prophesied. Isaiah 52:10 says, the Lord has bared his holy arm before the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. And that's what Simeon was quoting from there. Isaiah's prophecy 700 years earlier, that all of earth shall see the salvation of our God. You know, one of the nurses at the retirement home where Wingett was came to visit him during his last day. And she told us at the memorial service that when she saw him, when she walked into the room, she knew. And I guess they come to know this, or maybe the Lord showed her. I don't know. But she knew he's going to die today. This is his last day. And she talked to him for a while, but he was too weak to respond. But as she got ready to leave her shift, she came back to his room, and she said, Wink, I'll see you in the morning. And she said, he looked at her reprovingly. And she said, look, well, whether I see you here or I see you on the other side, I will see you in the morning. It was with that hope that Simeon held the Savior and beheld his salvation. What was Simeon doing? He was waiting. He was not wasting. He was waiting for the promised Messiah. The light, he says, the light for revelation to the Gentiles, to see the glory of God's people. How is God glorified in that? God's always glorified in His people who wait for Him. He's always glorified when we wait for Him. When we're waiting to obey what He's told us to do, then we're in sin. But when we're waiting for Him to tell us what to do clearly, or how to move forward, or how to serve, or how to love, or how to pray, or how to die, then we're right in the center of God's will. And he's pleased with that. Piper said, you know this quote, God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. And Simeon was completely satisfied in God and willing to wait to see the promise of salvation. I think God was glorified through Simeon's praise here, his prayer of praise. He was glorified when Simeon turned to the father and mother, Joseph and Mary, who were shocked to hear what he was saying. And God was glorified in the prophecy he spoke to them. Even a hard word to Mary, a sword will pierce your soul also. But I think mostly God was glorified through Simeon's quiet obedience. He was satisfied in God enough to wait, to listen, and then to obey his leading. You know, Simeon is never mentioned before in Scripture. He's not mentioned after in Scripture. And some people might say, well, he was really an insignificant character in the whole scheme of things. And aren't we all? Aren't we all just flesh and blood and just people, but God uses us? No, nobody's going to write a book about my Uncle Wingate, and nobody's going to write a song, except Jesse maybe, about my mom. But they were not insignificant. They made a difference, and you're making a difference. Your life matters. So continue to wait on Him. You know, my Uncle Wingate's last day and my mom's last day were the same, quiet and peaceful. And Simeon's death, I would imagine, was as well. Because he said, "Lord, now You are letting Your servant depart in peace." Let's pray. Father, we are thankful that You revealed Yourself to this man, Simeon, that story was included by Luke. I'm so thankful to have this piece of the story of Your birth that is so precious. The prophecy that He spoke, the waiting that He revealed to all of us, that's important. Waiting on You, hearing from You, and then waiting to see what You've promised come to pass. And Lord, I pray that You would teach us to be better at waiting, to be better at praying, to be better at being patient. I know I need to learn that lesson, especially even in my old age, that I need to learn to be more patient and waiting on You in so many ways. And Lord, I'm thankful for this church. And as we continue to celebrate the Christmas season, waiting on one another, loving one another in that way, serving one another with smiles and with gifts and with joy and praise and encouragement. I'm thankful for the women's ministry that will take place tonight, for the women who will gather and encourage one another in the Lord and wait on You as You minister to them in a special way. So bless that time as well. Thankful, Lord, that now we can wait on You as we take communion together, as we look forward to Your coming again, the second Advent, the one that will be the summation of all things and bring us to the place where we want to be, that we're looking forward to, where we're with You face to face. So Lord, bless this time of communion, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message by Pastor Mark Fox of Antioch Community Church in Elon, North Carolina. Antioch meets every Sunday for worship at 10 o'clock a.m. at 1600 Powerline Road in Elon. You can download other messages by Pastor Fox at antiochchurch.cc. You can also learn how to order his books or subscribe to his blog at jmarkfox.com.